A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Remember how for 40 years now the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert so as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. He therefore let you be afflicted with hunger and then fed you with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers, in order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery, who guided you through the vast and terrible desert with its serpents and scorpions, its parched and waterless ground, who brought forth water for you from the flinty rock, fed you in the desert with manna, a food unknown to your fathers." The word of the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
He has granted peace in your borders. With the best of wheat, he fills you. He sends forth this command to the earth. Swiftly runs his world.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinance to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinance he has not made known to them. Alleluia.
Oh, praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because the loaf of bread is one, and we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
I am the living bread came down from heaven, says the Lord. Whoever eats this bread will live forever.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord. I presume you guys know what I mean when I talk about a movie trailer, right? A preview of coming attractions. You know, you sit in the dark before the movie you really want to see, and they show you a bunch of ads for the movies that are coming up, right? Or sometimes nowadays on the internet, they play in a little sidebar of whatever article you're doing there. You can tell by the trailer from its mood, from its tone, or maybe from the actors and actresses in it, what kind of movie it is they're promoting, right? Maybe it's, you know, an action adventure, or a detective mystery, a romantic love story, a comedy. But that preview is meant to whet your appetite, give you a hint about what's going to come. Well, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, scholars find many sort of previews. They call them types. That's a fancy theological word, but it's basically something in the Old Testament that is a preview or points to something in the New and where it is fulfilled. We have a big one today in our Old Testament reading pointing to the New Testament. We're talking about the body and blood of Christ. That is today, the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ. You may also know it by the formal name of Corpus Christi. It got that name, you know, because that's Latin for body of Christ. It wasn't named after a spring break city in Texas, okay? Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. And today's solemnity honors our belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, that by the mystery that is there before us, it is actually the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the preview of coming attractions in our Old Testament reading is the manna that Moses and the Jews called the bread that came down from heaven. Moses tells the people manna is given to them by God to sustain them on their 40-year march through the desert, their journey from slavery to the promised land. And this is the type in the Old Testament. It is the preview of the Eucharist in the New Testament. The Eucharist is God's gift to us to sustain us on our journey, our pilgrim journey here on earth, in which we learn to know, love, and serve God. And we believe it is his actual body and blood. Although, as the hymn Tantum Ergo says, our senses fail us. Because, I mean, it looks like bread and wine. That's the mystery behind what we call transubstantiation, the fact that it is changed actually into the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of people today don't believe that. But you know, if it's not truly the body and blood of Jesus Christ, did Jesus lie to us? Can we take him at his word? If it's not the body and blood of Christ in actual fact, what are we doing here? Are we just a bunch of nice people gathered together to think nice thoughts and then maybe have a nice little snack at the end of the service? Not in the least. And I hope you were all as shocked by that statement that I just made as I am, and as I saw in a few faces. If you were, you understand a little bit about how those Jews who heard Jesus say this in the first time, how shocked they were. You know, forget about the cannibalism, which was just, you know, out of the question for the Jews. How shocked they were. Because Jesus didn't just say, you have to eat this. The words in the original are much more intense than that. It's gnaw, munch, chew, greedily devour. Okay, so this is something, you know, for those first century Jews. We don't do this, you know. First of all, because, you know, like I said, cannibalism was just totally out of left field. That wasn't allowed at all. But secondly, because it involved blood. For the ancient Jews, blood was sacred. Okay? They didn't have the kind of scientific knowledge we have today, knowing how the blood circulates through the body and how it moves oxygen and nutrients and helps us, you know, move and live and everything. But they did know that if you let enough blood out of a living creature, it would die. So they reasoned, quite logically, that blood was the source of life in a creature. Hence, blood belonged to God, because God could only give life. So they didn't have anything to do with blood. And if you remember some of your Old Testament, plenty of rules for what happens if you accidentally came in touch with blood, how you had to go through a purification. When the Jews in the Old Testament made a covenantal sacrifice with God, it was an animal sacrifice. And during the ritual, they would take the blood and it would be poured out on the altar to God. Then the body of the animal would be divided up. Some of it would be burnt as an offering to God. Some of it would be eaten either by the priests or the people. And in that, by participating in the eating of that sacrifice, you bound yourself to the covenant. So this is why Jesus uses the covenantal sacrifice as the model for the new covenant between God and us. His body and blood are the sacrifice. Our participating in it seals that covenant. I don't have time to go into all of the hundreds, and there literally are hundreds, of Eucharistic miracles that have been documented where a host will turn into flesh. Flesh that's been tested to be heart muscle, blood that has been tested to be blood type AB positive, and every time they test it, it's the same thing. You can look this up on the internet for yourself. Google miracles of the Eucharist. You'll find tons and tons of them. It's the way our Lord asks us to participate in the new covenant in which we will be God's people. He will be our God. So for something so incredibly awesome, so incredibly mind-blowing, we owe it our respect. We owe it our devotion. We can show our respect for the Eucharist in the attitude we display as we cross into the church, becoming quiet, becoming reverent, realizing Christ is present here. Anytime you walk into a church and you see that little red candle, that's what that candle means. That little red candle means that Christ is present in the tabernacle. The moment you walk in, physically there. We can show our respect for Christ in how we dress, how we prepare ourselves in advance before coming here, you know, how we act during the service. We can show an attitude of holy fear and respect by the way we receive the sacrament. Now, you have the choice of receiving either on the tongue or on your hand, but it can go even further than that. When you receive on your tongue, don't just a little bit like that. Make plenty of room. You're going to receive the Lord. If you're going to receive on your hand, they ask us to make a throne, a fitting throne of our hands. Nice place to reside in. Not reaching out, grabbing, trying to pull it from the person who's distributing. And as the minister holds that host up to it, we look at it and we hear the body of Christ. When we believe is truly the body of Christ, then what we respond is not amen, but amen. I believe not just so be it, or thus, or such it is, but I believe. You know, Father Mike Schmitz, if you've been following him on the internet, he's the guy that does the Bible in a year, the catechism in a year, says that amen when we go to receive communion is not just, yeah, okay, I believe, but I stake my life on it. I stake my eternal soul on it. So this Eucharist, this body and blood of our Lord, binds us in a new covenant. It gives us strength for the journey here on earth. It prepares us for the ultimate reward that awaits us in heaven, being in the presence of our God. So in a way, the Eucharist is also for us a preview of what's to come. When we see that host held up, that preview of the ultimate mystery, the ultimate adventure, the ultimate love story that is our God. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
God love you.